Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Is that gross enough for you? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 330. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. Yo soy Maddie ding dong.
Hey. Oh, so you didn't finish your G.
Ding dong.
This is Reeg. This is Reeg.
This is Reeg.
My name is Rhett. If there's new listeners, they're like, oh, that guy Reeg.
That
really,
guy Reeg is really,
annoying. He's a real idiot.
People like that. People like your Reeg. I heard it. They told me in person.
Who? Who's they?
In Colorado. That nice fellow that came up to me and chatted me up at the concession stand.
That's what he says. I like that Reeg part.
He actually did. He's like, I love his intro where he just screeches. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
That's about right. Yep. So how you been?
I've been good. I've just been screeching.
Screeching into the void?
Yeah, because it's like people are like, oh, you're trying too hard. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to just screech.
Who says you're trying too hard?
Nobody.
That's what I'm thinking.
Nobody says that.
Oh, that sucks.
Got one.
What about you, buddy? What have you been doing? It's been like 4 days, 3 days, I don't know.
It's
like
been no a few days. It's been.
We recorded on Saturday, right? Was that right?
Yeah.
Was that right?
Thursday today? I don't know. My week's all.
I don't know. I'm waiting for this week to be over.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you say that? What
makes
you say that?
Because next week's going to be better, bro.
Once it's such bullshit.
Once he hits the end of this week, it's
not. It's just a little respite from the week, the 2 days that we get to.
I actually started getting mad at clients and coworkers that say that now.
What?
That they're like, I'm just trying to get through this week. I'm like, why? And they're like, well, to make it to the weekend. I'm like, okay, so you're trying to get through your life. Like, you're trying to just get through it. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, it's not even life. It's just the week.
It's just the week. It's just the
That's 5 days out of 7.
Yeah.
That's fucking not good. Why? That's not good. I got to change my thing.
For those other 2 days, they don't have any responsibilities at all.
Nothing. There's not going to be anything.
Nope.
I'm not even going to be thinking about work either.
They don't have to bathe. They don't have to take care of their children. It's the weekend.
I don't have to drive. I'm not even going to be thinking about anything coming up. There's no bills. There's nothing. There's no frustrations.
He's going to be snuggling with his chinchilla.
I've never gone.
No, there is no chinchilla. Ooh. It's the weekend.
It's the weekend, right? That's a responsibility. Fuck that.
Got him.
That's true. No, but you get what I'm saying? It's more of a me thing.
Like that is a you thing.
Yeah, because I just don't want to, like, if I'm like, I don't want to live my life. Oh, this week's going by fast.
5 days at a time.
Like, that's not good. I don't want my fucking week to go by fast.
It just means you're dying faster.
Right. That's what it means.
But I mean, like, you're dying anyway.
And also, if the fucking week goes by fast, guess what else goes fast? The weekend.
But the week doesn't go by fast. It goes at the same time.
I swear to God, the
time is just a human construct anyway, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Well,
you know, look at how we manipulate time. We're like, daylight savings time, sure.
Why is he
getting all? What do the planets know? Why is he gonna get like this? What does the universe know? Change the time. Fuck them.
The subjective experience of time is a human construct, but it's something you experience as a human.
That's dope.
Right.
Moving on. Anyway, I saw Thrice. It was cool.
I guess that's all you can muster, right?
Well, I mean, like, they played like 2 songs total off the first 4 albums. And I'm like, I don't know a whole lot of this newer stuff. So, like, it was really awesome. It had a really cool light show, but I didn't know a lot of the songs. It was a bummer.
But you also saw Touche Amore.
Touche Amore was fucking dope.
Yeah, they're kind of good.
I thought I didn't like them, but I think it's Law Dispute that I don't like. The guy's just a little too spastic for me, but not in a fun way. Like, not in a wreck kind of way.
Gotcha.
Thanks.
But yeah.
Oh, thanks.
And then they shared my photo, too, which was super dope.
Who did?
Touche Amore.
That means they're grounded and down to earth.
That means they have just like, this many fans.
Shut up.
They're not sharing anything else, but yeah, they shared my it was a tight photo too.
They had a good album last year. I only gave it a couple listens, but it was pretty good.
I'm going to have to check out some of their stuff.
They had an album so good, he only listened to it twice.
Yeah. Well, no, I just didn't get fucking obsessed with it, but nice. I was like, "Oh yeah, it's all right."
Oh yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'll never listen to it again.
That's worth 1.5 listens. Yep.
Speaking of 1.5 listens,
that's a great bro, album.
That Ice Nine Kills record is good.
Oh, don't fuck like that, dude.
I'm serious. Like, so, like, I'd listen to the Silver Screen at first.
Do not fuck like this. He is fucking like this.
I am fucking like this. Like, I dug one that it was all about like horror movies. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But like, how theatric the whole album feels. And then the second one is just the same. And it's just like so high energy.
Theatrical.
Look, I'm one to talk, man. I've been listening to this Zoomer for the last 3 weeks named Remy Wolf.
Oh, that's not a solo person. That's a band.
It's her mostly on her own.
Okay, whatever. Like, you think Fleetwood Mac is her on her own too, huh?
Well, no, she produces most of the music by herself.
Don't even say that. Lindsey Buckingham. Who? Mick Fleet ass.
Who? Who?
Go on. I'm
Anywho,
sorry.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Better than Ice Nine Kills. That's for damn sure.
That's true.
Ska band though, bro.
That means nothing.
It does. It means they're automatically cool because you guys like ska. Therefore,
ska band in the 90s.
So let me explain how this works. Band. You like ska.
Mm-hmm. You hear they're a ska band. Ice Nine Kills.
Therefore, now you like Ice Nine Kills.
At first, they were just Ice Nine though. Oh,
are they not the Ice Nine Bandits?
No. They had to change their name because people didn't know how to spell.
Right. The Pharmaceutical Kills?
Pharmaceutical Bandits are dope, but like their sound is way different, so it makes sense that they would change their name.
So have you guys heard about Bandits. Marcus Hibiscus's new album?
No.
I don't even know that was a person.
That's my chinchilla. Oh. And Coop, one of our listeners, said that I should have named him Fred Dust. Because he had Dust Bath. That's pretty good. And I said that's his first album. And he said, okay, name five songs. And
you came up with an album?
Here's the album, right? So it's Marcus Hibiscus. The album name is Fred Dust. Post Irony. Dope, right?
Right, of course.
Track one, Folk Bitch of the Andes. Because he's from the Andes originally.
Okay.
Track two, Salt Rock Blues. Track three, Poop Wheel. Because he gets in his fucking wheel and just shits on it. And it's just rattling around. He's just like...
They resemble their owners.
Yeah. That's me. And then...
Anytime a child or an animal acts like an idiot, that's you, dude. Yeah.
That's a good one, right? No, it's a track four, Fur Slipping. Not Fur Slipper. It's like Fur Slipping, like he's slipping, right? Track five, Lost in the System. That's an ambitious track. Track six... At Dusk, I Go Free. It's dope.
Because he goes sundowns.
That's so many meanies, dude. So many meanies.
Track seven is Pellet Dropper. That's like Death Grips right there. Track eight, It's Raining Hay. Hey, hey, hey. Track nine, Crepuscular. That's like a Nine Inch Nails.
Wow.
So he actually... I'm an idea man, Chuck.
Crepuscular?
Crepuscular.
Crepuscular.
That means that their peak activity is at dawn and at dusk, from dusk till dawn. But at dawn and at dusk, and not much in between.
Right. He just kind of chills in the middle.
Yeah. He sleeps all day.
All day.
Yeah. If he doesn't get woken up by the dogs or something, he's in his little stump, and then. but yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know. So I would actually recommend his album over Ice Nine Kills. This chinchilla.
Fair enough.
When's the
first single dropping?
I'm looking for some backing. Like if anyone's interested in
I'm gonna start an Indiegogo for it.
Yeah,
or start a Patreon for it.
It sounds actually
Patreon.com/ Who Goes Their Podcast. Go fucking fund Rhett's chinchilla's album.
Yeah, we got names. We got a concept. We just need to. And it's Fred Dust.
Fred Dust.
So thank you, Coop.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
You watched anything, Rhett?
Yes, I watched Ridley Scott's new film,
which
is not exactly lighting the box office on fire, but oh well. But it's with Adam Driver and Matt Damon
yeah.
and Ben Affleck.
Ben Hooflick?
Affleck.
Hooflick?
Affleck. Dumb. And then I forget the name of the I forget the name of the lady in it. What the hell was she was in something else. Anyway.
What the hell?
It's called The Last Duel. And did you guys see the trailer?
No.
It's fucking it's great. It's in the 14th century, well, 13th century or 14th century France. And that's really Scott, bro.
Strike three.
So, and it's a true story. You're all strike. No, but this lady gets raped, and she accuses somebody of doing it, and that wasn't a popular thing to do at the time, and so it leads to the two men in question having a duel about it. But what it does is it brings up it lays bare like all of the entire patriarchal structure of like it lays everything bare like completely, and it shows like how the religious institutions are connected to the political ones, et cetera, et cetera. And meanwhile, Ridley Scott is art directing the fuck out of it. And the combat scenes, because it's the guy who did, you know, he did Gladiator and Alien. These combat scenes were, like, effective. A little too effective, almost. So it's one of my favorite movies I've seen this year. And I'd actually put it in Ridley Scott's top 10. That guy, he's in really good form with this one.
Okay. Jorge.
I think you dig it.
I'm in.
Did
you guys know that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were still together?
They're back together.
Back together?
Really? I thought he was with that Jennifer Connelly girl again.
Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, that one.
I don't know. He should get with Jennifer Connelly so he could be like ass to ass. No, but
Man, how do you know they didn't?
Oh, check this out. Guess who writes fucking the Last Duel?
Whomst.
It is Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. It's their first script they wrote together since Good Will Hunting.
Wow.
And rightfully so, they went and got a lady to help them write it so they had that perspective, which was a really smart thing to do. Speaking of fucking Affleck, apparently...
Fucking Affleck? We were talking about that before the show.
Yeah. Apparently, he's sober again because he's fucking great in this movie. He's almost kind of a scene stealer as a fucking a royal asshole. And
him we not like him when he's drinking?
I don't like him when he's drinking. It's he starts sucking dick. You can tell the movies start getting
literally
worse.
Or figuratively, or both.
Probably both. But what we can see evidence of is figurative dick sucking.
Okay.
For instance, when he started ballooning up and being Batman in the latter movies,
mm-hmm.
and you started noticing it, and then he started not emoting at all, drinking. You get what I'm saying? But then, like when he did the town. And like he in the movie, he's going to 12-step meetings and doing pull-ups sober.
And he is looking good in that movie, by the way.
Then he goes and does The Last Duel, and he wrote something with Matt Damon, and he did that movie. What is it? The Way Back last year, which was a drama
mm-hmm.
about a guy in recovery sober. He's doing it over and over and over again. He can't stop.
It's the artist cycle.
Yeah, but I gotta say, in any case, I know there's a lot of fucking people who hate that guy. He did really good in this movie.
Who fucking hates Ben Affleck?
A lot of people. I kind of don't. What do you mean, who hates him?
Like who?
But yeah, who hates Ben Affleck?
Who hates Ben Affleck?
It is a thing. It's a definite thing.
Because of what he did to Jen.
Jen. Yeah. It's Jen.
It's Jen.
What you did to Jen? Sophia doesn't like him. I'll tell you that.
Oh, good. Hi, Sophia.
She's got dope-ass hair in this movie. That's fucking awesome.
It's period-specific. They have the worst hair I have ever seen.
Matt Damon looks good.
Matt Damon is good in this movie. Adam Driver is fucking great in this movie.
This fucking headline, everyone's hair is so upsetting in The Last Duel.
It is, dude. It's like, wow. Yeah, really great, great movie.
That's awesome. I like it.
I like it.
I really like that.
I think you dig it. And it has this, I don't want to ruin that, but the structure, you know Rashomon? How it shows like the same incident from several perspectives?
No.
Well, it does that. It does a thing where it shows the same incident from several different perspectives. And then you finally get like this whole idea of like, oh, this is what happened.
Okay.
So, which is like a good hook.
Nice.
Yeah, what else? RuPaul season 10.
RuPaul
Dope Sick. I'm on episode 5 because they're only releasing one episode a week, which I was initially like, why? On Hulu. But now I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's like it resurrects the old TV thing.
Tickles the balls.
It tickles the balls a bit. And really good show. It's like a lot. I like it a lot more because I'm like in that field and all that. But
I would.
But it's about the opiate epidemic and big pharma and all this shit.
You ever done drugs or something, dude?
Late 90s, early 2000s. Really good show. Michael Keaton's in it.
Okay.
Does a great job. And, I went and saw...
Michael Keaton.
I went and saw... Because I took Sophia to a show instead of just dragging her to stuff like Black Midi and Tool.
Mm-hmm,
and, mm-hmm, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which she really enjoyed, by the way. But she likes a guy named Kevin Morby, which is kind of this like folky blues type guy.
I'm in.
He was right down the street from my house. Didn't even invite me.
Oh, my God.
This fucking guy.
We bought the tickets months ago. You're like, even more.
Thanks for the invite. See you in advance.
It was at the Observatory, which I hadn't been to since pre-pandemic, and I like that venue.
It's a good venue.
It's a fucking
Except
cool
you're
venue.
Like, kind of at
the slant.
A little bit of a slant the entire time, which I don't.
I think they added a couple more like little tiers so you can stand like
on, they did.
On the way down the slant. I don't think the slant is as...
And they have like a little bar you can lean on, and you're on the side, so it's like you're actually kind of... I don't want to say closer, but you're closer than you would be, like, on the floor.
Dude, and the tight thing is, like, now that we're older, like, everyone else that likes the bands we like is older. So, like, you can get right up front without people fucking, like,
You're stupid.
It was so dope. I was at Thrice last night. I was like, man, I'm
so gonna... dope. Yeah, but that wasn't like that at fucking Japanese Breakfast.
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
I was just standing, like, there was still a bunch of people, but everybody was just standing there. And, like, the fucking, you know, white people were swaying off rhythm. But, like, nobody was bumping into anybody. There was, like...
We had a clapper at this one. We had a clapper at this one who was clapping off rhythm, and I wanted to
fuck like, yeah.
There was a lot of them.
I was like, motherfucker. I looked video. Back three times.
It like, looked like Dustin Kensrew was having trouble like singing because everybody was clapping so hard off beat. It was tight.
But yeah, Kevin Morby was playing with the lady from this band, Waxahachie. You heard of her or this?
It's, oh yeah, Waxahachie.
No, well, you guys, it's definitely folk. Like, it's beyond folk. Like, fuck.
That's my new album.
Beyond Folk, Jorge. Fuck. And the headliner, though, was this guy named Hamilton Lifehauser, and he's from The Walkmen, which is an indie band that I never was really familiar with, but they're very well regarded, and Pitchfork loves them. So if you're part of Portland's musical indie scene, you'll love it. And honestly, he was a very good songwriter, and it was this really isn't like my thing, but it was nice to expand my horizons a little bit. And honestly, mm-hmm. that guy really does have a good instrument as a vocalist. So,
well, there you go.
There you go. It was nice. Next week, I go see Julian Baker.
Is it the dude from The Strokes?
That's Julian Casablancas. That guy's dope. No, Julian Baker. She's friends. She's friends she's with Phoebe friends. Bridgers. So quite a few of our listeners are familiar.
Phoebe Bridgers is great.
I hear everybody talking about her.
They had a super group, her and Julian Baker and another lady. So yeah, they're all
cool.
They're all cool together.
What about you?
No.
You didn't watch anything?
No. I watched some Seinfeld. I watched like 7 minutes of Lock and Key and then went to sleep.
Lock and Key, did you see that poster, dude?
Did you see the poster, dude?
It's all
the
help. I did see it.
In that room, dude?
Daughters,
yeah,
dude.
I saw a picture you took of it, but yeah.
Do you like Lock and Key when they talk about daughters, dude?
Did they talk about daughters?
They never talk about daughters. They just show the poster. Imply, that's all you need.
Yeah. That is all you need.
You just need the implication.
Someone's like, can we please put a daughter's poster here?
Yep, just like all the Trivium posters. Well,
it's funny, too, because like that's the only... That's the only poster that's recognizable in the whole show. The other ones are fake bands. There's like yeah, like the other ones.
Like, what can Matt do with that? Where's the punchline in that?
His daughter's a fake band.
There it is.
No, but it's in a different room. So it works.
Wait, what?
I don't know. He tripped me out right there.
I gotcha.
No, it's
what do you think of Lock and Key so far this new season?
Bro, I literally got 7 minutes into it before I went to bed.
Oh, okay.
Well, like, that doesn't say anything about the show. You were just tired.
I was just tired.
Okay.
Yeah. It was late.
Or you're like, it was so slow, seven minutes. And I was done.
I started watching it, and then my eyes started crossing. I'm like, oh, I can't. I did start reading a book, though, called The Troop. It's pretty good so far. It's a...
Goof Troop.
Good. It's about 100 pages.
No, it's like 600?
Have you ever read the book adaptation of Goof Troop?
Is there one?
No.
Probably. There probably is.
Like, imagine like reading those.
Dude, I would read it. I would read the fuck out of those songs. Yep, I know what I said.
That would be a cool thing to collect rare film to book adaptations.
Encino Man, dude. I read Encino Man.
They had a book adaptation?
Fuck yeah, they did. I read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
A book.
Yep.
Not like a comic book or a coloring book.
Film adaptation.
God damn.
God damn. I finally watched Dune.
Oh, yeah, I need to
ask. It took me a frick load of time because we were watching it in like 40-minute chunks every night because it's just like...
That's rough.
Asking Ronnie to watch a three-hour movie is like...
You watched it here on HBO Max.
We had to. I couldn't... Like, there's no way we could get it.
So what? Disappointed.
No,
We couldn't get away. We couldn't get away for 3 hours to watch a movie like in one piece this week. No, it's really good. I think a lot of what people's like criticisms of are baseless for the most part. Like you'll get to it. I think they do really good lore building with what they've got in terms of like time.
Yeah.
I love that Denny doesn't over-explain fucking everything. Like, there's just things that you're like, yeah, dude, that's how it works. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
It's very immersive.
Yeah, too. It's good. It's good. And then that fucking rain planet, ugh. Get me there. I want to be there.
Yeah. My thing is, and I mentioned, it's, well, because this fucking guy was, he wouldn't stop. You wouldn't fucking stop.
What?
It is very much half of a movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So is the book.
Yeah.
Okay, there he goes again. I know, but what I'm saying is as a standalone movie, it doesn't work yet. It will later because once I see the other parts and I know I'm almost
it ends far too abruptly. There's no
book.
Yeah, but
I get it.
Fucking
I'm not downing it as a work of art.
Look. Now that I'm on this end of it, you're a fucking idiot.
I'm telling you, the book just ends suddenly.
It made me worried about its chances of getting a sequel. But yeah, I'm glad it got greenlit.
The way it ends, like, it's just like, okay, cool.
Directed by Denis. Okay.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's literally like, if you get to the last page of the book and it's like, it's over. And it's like, okay, cool. Got it.
Kind of.
It's like, they began walking on the sand.
No, even better. Well, I don't want to say the thing that happens, but it's like, this thing happens, and then they walk on the sand. And it's like, what, dude? You could have ended like right before that. Like, that would have been pretty cool, but whatever. No, it's good, man. And I watched the YouTube video of Denis Villeneuve.
Oh, yeah. Doing the scene?
Explaining that scene.
So good. Like, when she says to come here, and he went over the editing techniques there. Yeah, I watched the same thing.
It's brilliant, man.
I wanted to send it to you, like, you give a fuck what I send you, but you know.
Well, I find that shit organically, dude. I don't need you to send it to me.
I forget, dude. You know, sometimes you want a buddy to send stuff to.
But no, dude, you know, he explains how he could have had him walking across the screen for like 30 seconds and that would have been lamest.
Floating.
It would have been lamest.
Like Matt didn't like about the new Candyman.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Floating.
I heard
he flies out the window backwards.
We need ass first flying.
For floaty Candyman, bitch.
I am looking for I'm looking for
flying
Candyman.
No. That's right. No, dude, it's good, and I'm super stoked that it got greenlit for the second movie.
Me too.
And hopefully the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth.
Well, and also, if they split one book into two movies, that's potentially... If you
12 movies?
Yeah, well, dude, I'm fucking down.
I think that once they've explained like the...
That's true. They have to do... They have more work in this.
Yeah,
this
I think one. Once they've done the work of these first two movies, I think they can probably speed up the narrative a little bit in the subsequent films. It's visually, it's incredible. I think that like...
At first, I was worried when I saw the trailers. I didn't want to like say anything bad about it because, you know, but... I was worried about the color palette, like a lot of beige, you know? And then like I watched the movie and I'm like, it's a lot of beige.
So much.
But then
beige.
I'm like, now I'm like, that's really kind of audacious because he's like, yeah, I'm going to go all texture, like texture. And it looks photorealistic as fuck.
I will say this.
Yeah.
There are times in the film, specifically some of the ships, that I'm like, y'all should have polished that up a little bit more.
You were seeing it on HBO Max. You see, I haven't seen it at home, so I didn't. I was so immersed.
That's likely it. But I'm seeing.
Oh
like,
no, because that's how it's going to be watched in
like for some of forever, the so some important. Of the ships landing and the especially the that first ship that lands and then the
in the water,
the landing thing comes out. This is me just being nitpicky. It's a great film. Go watch it.
No, because some stuff is so polished that the other stuff sticks out.
Yeah.
In comparison, there's a scene where they're leaving Caladan, and the ship's coming out of the water. And fucking Timothy Chalamet's like in his fucking coat, cape, all gothed out. And the fucking, he's saying bye to the gravestones and the music kicks in with the drums.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally like in the theater, like fucking bobbing my head. I was like, this is. This is good right now. Like, and there was no dialogue. It was just, yeah. They're leaving. They're leaving that planet.
It's good stuff, man. And it's good stuff.
Dope.
So you didn't watch anything?
No.
Did you play anything?
Like 4 days.
He's too busy fucking.
I'm doing work. I watched fucking GCW with Rick.
Fucking that homie Rick.
I watched G Strings Clap.
Sure.
G Strings Clap?
That's dope. No.
They don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Any news we should get to?
Shit. I don't know.
There's got to be some fucking news.
Matt's got to be like, look, I got to get out of here in 45 minutes, so I do not care. I do not care.
Damn, bitch. All right, I hear you're looking for Candyman, bitch.
But you're looking for an hour and a half, bitch.
I hear you're looking for taking a break.
Not going to find it today, gentlemen. Nothing?
No news?
Fuck, we're going to get right to it.
I hear you're looking to take a break, bitch. And then come back and give a Patreon pitch.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Right.
That's pretty good. Poet, and you didn't even realize it.
Bitch, pitch.
Did you say hoet?
Get your DDD.
Get the IMDDD.
Get the IMDDD. Mateo, you look so serene.
Do I?
He's just ready to go. He doesn't even want to play.
Sense of urgency.
I mean, I do want to play, but I don't have the time to play, which makes it stress inducing.
I don't want to play. I don't want to play. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to play. I don't want to play.
Hey, guess what?
You don't want to play?
We're freaking back,
I'm fucking
y'all.
Back.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
I'm going to go use the restroom, and then you can tell these morons about Patreon.
Oh, I mean, seems like he would have done that on the break. And I feel like I already told people about Patreon, where you can go and finance Rhett's Chinchilla's album.
Yeah, you did.
He told you all about that album, how it's called Fred Dust. It's got 9 hot-ass tracks.
It sounds good, doesn't
Pellet
it?
Pellet Dropper and Corpuscular. And, you know, you'll learn a little something about chinchillas at the same time. So go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. Help fund the album. Help us continue doing the show. It's win-win. You get stuff in return, like exclusive content. We did an episode on Hocus Pocus. Dope. Episode on the original Candyman. Dope. We did a live viewing of Sleepaway Camp. Dope.
We need to do another one.
All those things. Dope. You know what else is dope? Patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. You should go do that.
Who Goes There Podcast.
George, in addition to going to the bathroom, stopped off at the fridge. My pitch would have been the perfect amount of time had he not done that.
It was still perfect amount of time because you just finished.
There you go.
Well, the Who Goes There Podcast watched 2021's The Medium. I'm not even going to try.
To I feel like you should.
Names.
I feel like you should pronounce all of them.
But here we go. Directed by Banjong Pizenthankun. Not even close. Starring.
I'm not going to try. Here we go.
Narelia Gumul Kolpolkik. I think.
This is the best part.
Sawani Utuma. Like, that one's easy.
Oh, there you go.
Sirani Yankitikan. Well, it's not bad. Yasaka, fuck that.
Yasaka, fuck that.
Boonsong Nekfu. Nekfu? Nekfu?
Nekfu?
Nekfu?
Boonsong.
Rooney Farms. Watana?
Boons Farm.
Thanep. Oh, fuck.
You fuck with Boons Farm?
Thanapthon Boonsong.
Thanapthon?
Papa Pakapul Sri Moro. I'm not going to work here anymore. That's for sure. The IMDb synopsis is as such: a horrifying story of a shaman's inheritance in the Insan region of Thailand.
What could be possessing a family member might not be the goddess they make it out to be. Ooh. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of this movie, dude?
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah! Like,
yes! I mean, okay. I'm so disappointed in the last 30 minutes. Well, like,
that's the only good part.
I feel like the first hour is like, it's a nice slow burn. And then they do 30 minutes of like cool possession exorcism-y stuff. And then it becomes Paranormal Activity where they're like, here's just a bunch of like hidden cameras and night vision and stuff. I mean, it had some of the coolest stuff, but at what cost?
But at what cost indeed.
I mean, I was really enjoying it until like, they're like, we're going to put hidden cameras in the house. And then I'm like,
And then you had your first jump scare.
And it was, yeah, dude, why? It just didn't fucking fit. I'm sorry. We'll get into it.
All right. Rhett, what'd you think of the movie?
It's 2 hours and 10 minutes. And it's like, okay, Rhett doesn't hate long movies. It's found footage.
You're like, okay, Rhett doesn't hate.
It doesn't always feel like found footage, though.
Okay. Right. This has some very good cultural specificity because it's in this Thai area. The stuff about shamanism, how it started out actually feeling like a documentary about shamanism, the first 15 or 20 minutes, I'm like, this feels much different. For one thing, the cultural thing is different. For two, the approach was different. I'll also say the lead lady, I don't know the actress's name, I apologize for that, but the lead lady who's in the beginning.
What's her name, George?
She's at the beginning and she's at the end. She doesn't die. Oh, well, she's one of the people who sticks around.
Noi?
Yeah. She's a very good actress, very naturalistic. Even the stuff that like felt really scripted seemed very natural coming from her. Okay, after that, though, it starts for me almost immediately to fall into the tropes of found footage where it's going back and forth between these big static shots that like look great and natural of the environment. And then they have these dramatic shots where it's like, why are they filming this? Like, why are they following her walk through an alley? I just get complete, like all of a sudden they're following the young chick everywhere. They're peeking in on her in a bathroom. It's like, what documentary filmmaker would be peeking in on this? Like, and it's like, oh, well, you just have to like let it happen. No, dude, like it doesn't go with the rest of the fucking pretense of the movie.
Also, they weren't peeking on her while she was, like, peeing. They were, you know, peeking on her because there was, like, a very strange occurrence that had started to happen outside of the bathroom.
It's stupid.
You're stupid.
Okay.
And then it takes 1 hour and 10 minutes to get to the first real horror incident. And when it does so, it kicks into every exorcism cliche in the fucking book. And the cultural specificity, like all the stuff that's specific about the culture, doesn't matter. It's like, no, we're just going to do this. And this is like, I think one of the producers, the dude from The Wailing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the director.
No, the director did a couple other movies. He's involved as a producer, I think. But okay. The director did a couple other movies I haven't seen, but he's well regarded. Yeah. Yeah, once it kicks into those fucking cliches, I'm like, damn, we got another hour. This is like, I want to bring to people's attention, when we talked about the new Batman movie, the new Matt Reeves Batman movie, Matt hears that it might be like 3 hours, and he's like, oh, I know to stay away from it then.
Yep.
Because it's 3 hours, right? Meanwhile, 2 hour and 10 minute found footage exorcism movie, subpar, he's in.
I didn't say I was in for the whole thing. I said the end of it was like was not good.
Watch the new fucking Batman movie.
No.
It's 50 minutes longer than
this. I'm going to do it just to spite. I'm going to do it, not do it.
Not do it.
Just to spite you.
I know you are.
Jorge, how you been?
That sigh speaks volumes.
Guys, I
He's like, I didn't watch it.
I couldn't watch it because it was 2 hours and 500 years long. What the fuck, man? Why is this movie as long as it is?
Because they added all that found footage shit.
Why?
Does it exist? Here's the thing. There is some competent filmmaking happening in this bitch. Kill the documentary shit. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Make this a cool movie about Thai culture and demons and whatnot. Remove the last 30 minutes with this possession garbage, and you've got a stew going. Otherwise, bro, this is a boring piece. Hmm. Ambitious as all hell, but I'm not a fan of this.
It's one of the more boring movies I think we've watched this year.
I got a half hour in, buddy. I got a half hour in, and I looked at the runtime, and I go, holy fuck, there's still an hour. There's a whole ass movie left.
I mean, to be fair, I was kind of the same. I got a flu shot yesterday, so I just felt like dead all fucking day.
You were like, that was better than this
movie. No, so as I'm watching the movie, I'm like, okay, when I get to the 1 hour mark, I'm gonna like take a nap and then finish it afterwards. But then it got to the 1 hour mark and it kind of kicked off. Like, that's when all the cool shit started happening.
Was it the 1 hour mark, dude?
It was ish. Like, bro, Rhett said it was an hour and 10 minutes, so it might have been a little after.
You could have cut the first hour out of this thing.
I mean, like, you had to have the character development and stuff. And like,
character development?
Do you?
Well, I mean, yeah.
You had to see her fucking all those dudes real quick in the security cam.
Yeah, see, that's weird. Well, I mean, that's establishing that, like...
That she fucks.
That she's different. You know, that she's doing all this stuff. And I actually appreciated that. It's establishing that
even though she's really thin, she's got a real tight ass and a good pair of knockers, as Matt would say.
Would I say that? Well,
dude, way to throw him under the bus, dude. I mean, what the fuck?
I don't think I would say knockers.
Well, because I realized what I said, and then I had to throw him under the bus.
Sweater kittens, milk bubbles, tatty bojangles.
I thought, you know, I got to be honest. I thought the only pair of tits we were going to see was that big
dude. I was like, that dude's got some titties.
That boy's got some nice ones.
He's got some big old fat titties. Like, those are fuckable titties right there.
Yeah, dude. I'm looking at him. I'm like, okay, well, you know, yeah. I'm kind of in.
Get him nice and sweaty. It'll slide real good.
Just go to town on that boy.
Yeah, that's dope. But, I actually appreciated that because, like, unlike most possession movies where it's just, like, somebody's normal and then they're, like, not. This one felt like it was like very slow in the development where she's basically normal, but then she starts yelling at like her uncle because she thinks her uncle said something. And then she starts acting a little bit weird and doing things that she wouldn't normally do and then losing track of time. And then, then she's just catatonic. And I like that. And then the twist about like why she's possessed. I like that too. Because I was like, okay, cool. It's like, you know, you're paying for the sins of your ancestors, which means, like, I'm probably fucked.
Everyone's fucked. The problem with the story is that they're asking you to remember so much about what the fuck is going on. Yes. You're like, okay, we've got this medium who honestly ends up being nothing to the story, to be honest.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I just don't, I like her character, the actual medium... Uh-huh. Is almost useless in this film.
Nah, see, I loved it because the whole time, like, you're watching it, even when it's as a documentary, you're thinking, like, okay, this woman's full of shit. And one of the first things that she says is, like, if somebody comes to me with cancer, they're going to die. Like, I can deal with, like, ailments of, like, black magic, curses, and if a spirit touches you. So instantly you're thinking, like, oh, okay, well, she's full of shit. Like, she doesn't actually do anything. It's just like these mind placebo kind of things where somebody's like, oh, I have black magic. I have this curse on me. And she convinces them otherwise.
Well,
that's
not what I thought.
Well, it's like any religion. Well, no, but that's, you know, they start presenting that as like maybe she's a fake. You know, maybe she's just somebody that like tells people what they want to hear.
Maybe Western medicine is a fake.
Well, right. But
maybe.
As somebody who lives
everyone opiates every time they
as
get a
somebody
fucking,
who
a
lives
pain.
In the West, you're watching this and you're skeptical. You're like, okay, well, you know,
well, okay.
maybe she's not an actual medium.
Did she do anything?
She drew the fucking the blackness out from that girl's finger. She was doing the ritual. She like cracked the fucking egg and found out where the girl is. Like, she clearly at least knew what she was doing.
Apparently,
whether or not she was like actually filled with the spirit of some deity.
The old goddess bitch.
Yeah. Like whether or not she was, she Bong still knew what she was doing. Like, you know, she got all the vile things together and she's like doing the little egg shit, trying to like pull in the direction and like all of that shit. Like I can really see the parallels to A Dark Song here where you're thinking like, okay, is this guy for real? Like, is he actually doing a ritual or is he just like fooling this person? Like, is this woman just like a fucking grifter con woman or does she actually have some kind of abilities? And then you find out that she actually does. But then when she dies, like the very last thing they show in the movie as the credits are rolling is like her final interview where she's talking about like, I start to wonder, did this spirit ever come to me? Like she starts to question herself, like, am I actually a fake? Like how is it that I'm able to do this? Like, what am I really up against? And then she fucking dies. And then for me, I'm thinking like, wow, like that's the death was like her punishment. She turned her back on her God and now she's dead. And they've shown the things before where like they're vengeful gods. Like that's why this one girl is suffering because her mom turned her back on the same spirit that possesses her auntie. And now her auntie's basically saying like, is this God even real? And then she fucking wakes up dead. That's
she woke dope. Up dead, dude.
She hella woke up dead.
The medium woke up dead. And that's it. So next week we're doing antlers.
Wow. Hey, you know, it's almost like you don't have much to say about it.
Look, I was driving over here and that's not even true. I was driving to work this morning hours ago. Like, what the fuck am I going to say about this movie? Look, let me talk about that again real quick. I'll mention that again because I feel like I sandwiched it too much together like I do, right? I tend to do that. This even the filming thing, like, they're doing these static documentary shots. Then they have these close-up dramatic sequences that are written differently. They're acted differently. Yeah. They're like, it's two people sitting at a table having some melodrama. Like, total, like, melodramatic bullshit that wouldn't come anywhere near a documentary. And, like, that's what I mean. Like, this is a problem with a lot of movies. But even with this, because this has a real kind of elegance and stateliness to it, and it really has something going on with that and with the cultural thing. And then it just like, it's not just that the movie's slow. It's not just that it takes too long to get where it's going. I was actually really surprised that it threw it out the window and started feeling just as cliched as any good old American piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Movie. That final 30.
Yeah. And like you said, yeah. In the final, they have the fucking, the night vision, every one of the things like, do something else.
Every single scene with night vision, I was just getting more and more uncomfortable. Not because like, it's like, oh, this is spooky. The girl's being creepy. But I was just like, God damn it. This is just more of what I don't want. This is what people think of when they think of found footage. And when they think of like exorcism movies, and I don't want that. Until that point, this movie had felt slow but original. It felt like a unique telling of a possession story.
I would have preferred like Troll Hunter, but like in this era with this world, you know what I'm saying? Like keep it like, you know, be more, even if you're not going to be as like fucking approach wise, I mean, even if you're not going to be as overt with the stuff, that would still be creepier. Like, they had this shot at the end of that fucking whole debacle at the end where it has, like, it shows a little doll with a bunch of nails in it.
Yeah.
And the fire flickering. It's like, that's really evocative, that image.
Yeah.
And that was different.
There's aspects of the film that are genuinely creepy. I think that there's moments that what's her name? Mink?
Yeah.
That she's doing some pretty fantastic stuff.
Yeah, when she's riding that dude on the couch, it's fucking, or when that dude with the tits bends her over on the desk.
Totally. Yep. No, she's doing some good stuff. When she
rips her shirt open,
like the possession stuff. I think that there are moments that are actually creepy. There are times in that fucking found footage garbage that I'm like, okay, you're doing something here.
You mean the night vision shit?
Yeah.
Dude, when she boiled the dog, like I felt like a full on sense of repulsion. I felt like really uncomfortable.
But the idea that it has to be in a fucking night vision camera where it's like,
and we spoke to the family and they were cool with adding more cameras.
Well, it gives a reason why they can do all this shit without anybody trying to intervene. You know, because if the on
well, that's the thing, dude. Like, you know, if you're gonna present a found footage movie, don't explain to me putting the cameras up. Just have them up.
Thank you.
Well, that's that.
They kept saying, "Oh, the camera this."
So that was part of the documentary, because the documentary, like, it evolved as it went on, and like that's some of the parts that I appreciated.
It makes it 10 times worse when you're just pointing out how silly it is.
So it does feel like it falls apart, but for the majority of the movie, it felt very cohesive. It felt like it was edited as a documentary, which is one of the biggest problems with found footage films, is like, okay, well, who found this footage and how is it being presented? You know, like, did somebody edit this? Is it a documentary? Which is why the first Hell House worked for a lot of it, because it was able to be found footage and then it was able to be a documentary. But
yeah, there's no, I mean, if you're coming to it from that standpoint, like, there's no reason for this footage to have made it anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, that we're watching it is kind of absurd in the first place.
Because it has been edited. So that means that somebody found these murdered people and, like, put all the video together and, like, decided to include the priest doing the fucking backwards belly flop onto the concrete. And yeah, like, yeah, what was that? The whole, like, like, we just fucking starts freaking out. And then,
that's dope. That's the demon having fun with the body.
Yeah. Demons.
Yeah. That, well, yeah.
See, I like that too. I like that there was a bunch of demons in there, and it was basically like, oh yeah, so the reason your daughter's being possessed is because your ancestors murdered a bunch of people and, like, cut their heads off, and their dying wishes were that your family be cursed. And also then he happened to marry you, the one who turned her back on, like, this protector spirit that has been in your family forever.
There was another thing too. So whose baby was that?
I think that was Noi's baby.
But wasn't the baby sleeping with that young, not sleeping with the young person, but sleeping in the same.
No, that's a Serbian film.
Yeah, sleeping with that young couple in that room.
Which young couple?
I'm as confused as I think I am.
So you're saying they all look the same?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying, right? That's what I'm picking up here.
Basically, I don't even think there was a baby in this movie.
I'm so confused where the baby came from.
An adult Asian person and thinking, just basically assuming they're a baby.
Oh, I'm assuming their age.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Very ageist.
How dare you?
I don't know. That doesn't make
sense. Yeah, the baby just fucking came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, somebody's got a baby? There's just a baby here now? Well, yeah,
and like
the old
man's like, that's my boy. And I'm like, is it your
That's dad? My boy.
He did say, I thought we were going to see a kid's head in there. And when that girl fucking pushed that kid into the wall in the ball pit, I was like, damn,
that girl for real cried.
She pushed her hard.
Yeah, that little girl for real cried.
That was
I'm pretty, like, okay.
Yeah, I was into that. So I totally thought we were just going to see that baby's head. Pong. Is that his name? Pong. Pong and Pang.
I don't know whose fucking baby Pong was.
Yeah, right? I'm guessing it was Pang's baby. And then that Nemet's baby, was that his name? Nemet? The guy that decided to fucking just dive out the window for no reason? Yeah, see? Now I remember all that shit at the end. What? What happens is, like, somebody interrupts the ritual, so now every spirit, instead of being inside one vessel, is in a whole bunch of vessels, but she's still, like, the HBIC vessel, and then, like, she's got a bunch of fucking,
HBIC.
Like,
HBIC.
Head bitch in charge.
Huge. Oh.
And she's got, like, all those little, like, demon dog possessions bitch that are now eating people? What?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What, Rhett, tell me. What happened?
I'm gonna tell you that, as you know, I occasionally will stop following the plot of a film, even when it's good, because I just want to, like, drink it in. Let me just let it wash over me, and then I'll figure that out later on a rewatch. There will be no rewatch, and I wasn't focusing on the linear plot of this movie because it was too fucking boring to get engaged in. I was just completely, I was out of the story altogether. I'm like, why are they shooting it here? Why are they acting like that? Why are they saying like that? I was nowhere near story developments by the end of this movie.
Yeah. That's the worst part, is that it, like, disengages you completely God from damn. The story.
You're asking the wrong fucking
like,
dude.
Like, you're sort of funny assertion that, like, she knew what she was doing. She cracked the egg, and then she knew where to go.
She hella knew what she
and
was
then,
doing.
And then I'm like, she cracked the egg, and then she was like, oh, I'm going to go to the thread factory. And then I'm going to, and it's like, come on, man. Like, what?
Wah.
Wait, dude, this is fricked.
I don't know, man. Who hurt you guys? I mean, I know
this. You don't even like this movie.
I said you're like, so I mean, I do, but I don't. I mean, I'm disappointed at the last.
Matt,
like,
you can't ever say anything's boring if you like this movie. Like,
dude, I mean, I felt like it was a good boring, and then the last 30 minutes, it's just like, what are you doing?
It was a good boring for 20 minutes.
I mean, maybe, but like, that's the thing is, it felt like a documentary, so it felt like it was okay for it to be boring.
Dude, I've seen documentaries.
Dude.
Yeah,
that's a good song. A documentary?
I've seen the documentaries.
Name five.
Yeah.
Okay, one. Fred Dust.
Fred Dust. How come I can't name five documentaries right now? Blue Planet.
That's not one.
I mean, yeah, that. It counts.
David Attenborough. What the fuck?
Yeah. Hoop Dreams.
That's not a documentary.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Basketball Diaries. Same thing.
You're thinking of White Men Can't Jump. That is not a documentary.
That is a documentary.
That's like Money Heist.
That's about how white men can't jump.
On the train, right?
And Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
In the plane?
On the plane?
Money Heist on a plane?
In the plane, right? With Snoop Dogg?
That's Soul Plane.
Ah.
I've seen a lot of other documentaries you asked. The Corporation is a great documentary. You know, Food Incorporated, Earthlings.
There we go.
I just watched one recently.
Now he's got it. Now he can.
I just watched one recently. Eating our way to extinction.
Do you watch any that aren't about food?
Yes. But they all came. Yeah, in a
but
cluster.
Then he wouldn't be able to have like information when he needs to tell people that he's vegetarian.
Stupid.
He needs to be able to have the moral high ground, so he needs all the information.
It's not even like the moral high ground. It just makes no sense.
Make no sense.
That's true, but I'm talking about like. Never mind. You don't want me to go on this trip right now.
No, I don't. I want you to go on a trip.
It doesn't make any sense to fucking like go extinct because you like the taste of something.
See, now he's going on the trip again. He's like, you don't want me to go on the trip. I'm not going to go on the trip.
That's just fucking stupid. Okay, but anyway.
He goes on the fucking trip.
Does it make any sense to go extinct?
Because you like the taste of something.
Taste of something.
Yeah. Like, let's do all this animal agriculture and fuck up the entire thing because I need pork. Like, no, we're good. Thank you.
It's not pork. It's
all of it.
It's beef.
Yeah.
All of it. Animal agriculture.
If they would just let us eat people, then like problem solved.
Agreed. But that would introduce its own problems. So that's what I mean. I feel like that would
solve more problems than it would
introduce.
No,
because you get fucked up diseases from cannibalism.
If everyone switched over.
I mean, if we just regulated it and got the people tested for diseases on a regular basis.
Gave them their vaccinations.
Yep, then the government could tax it. Make a fortune.
You want
get us out of that $2 trillion of
fully
debt.
Automated luxury space cannibalism. Yep.
Would you eat human given the opportunity?
Fuck no.
No, I wouldn't.
If somebody willingly
at this
gave
point I don't eat
flesh,
meat, so why would I go? No, I have no. I don't even eat meat now.
No, but like, if somebody was like, "Here's a little cube,"
I'm
of,
good.
Of me,
like I'm not dying, so I'm not even interested. I'm like, okay, I don't need. I'm literally not a fucking carnivore. I don't think you guys... We're not carnivores.
I think that's a mistake.
It's a fucking true.
We are.
Fucking, no, you're
we
not.
We are carnivores.
You can eat meat and digest
we're
it extremely
omnivores.
Poorly.
We're omnivores.
No, we're not. We don't have the teeth or the nails to be omnivores.
What are canines?
We have the teeth.
They're for biting and tearing.
They're going bye-bye.
You're
look
going
it up,
bye-bye.
Fucks.
I mean, I've worked in dental for 20 years.
And what do
I
care?
You've
like, if they're going bye-bye, it's going to be long after I'm dead. So what do
I care? Not just, it's
you
not just...
These fuckers, you see these fuckers, dude? Fuck yeah, dude.
Yep.
Carnivore, baby.
If we were omnivores, you would require some meat to survive, which we do not.
Well, you don't need necessarily the meat, but you need what's in the meat.
Correct, which so came that, from plants.
Well, right, but most
the animals got
have
from
to
plants.
Supplement... They're,
and we're able to do that now.
Well, right, but just eat the meat,
or don't,
or do,
or don't,
eh.
Or don't.
I'll continue.
The medium is a fantastic.
It's like the it's the film version of being a vegetarian. Super fucking boring and lame.
And full of itself.
Don't be this way. You don't gotta be that way. You don't gotta be that
way.
He's
spitting fire, spitting truth.
Even if it was super fucking boring and lame, that still doesn't mean that it's not fucking based in like some real fucking stuff.
Wait, are we talking about
like the medium now?
Yeah, he's talking about the medium.
No.
He's like, it's boring.
He, all of us, oh, yeah,
let me do some real fucking all stuff. Did,
all of a sudden, he loves it, dude.
I did want to like this movie, though. Why wouldn't I? You know, just like it, besides it being found footage, I'm like, fuck it.
There's a baby eating scene, so he's like, I want some of that meat.
Dope. I want to fucking, well, and they talk about eating dogs and shit. That's
there you go.
My dog was going to be eaten. That is that Thailand that they're in?
But
there you go. They were going to eat my dog over there.
And that stuff that's cultural relativity. And I think that shit's interesting. And also, if you're going to eat animals, you eat animals, right?
I think I would eat dog.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have to like.
You might as well.
If I didn't have to meet the dog beforehand, sure.
Meet the dog.
If I didn't have to meet him before they meet him.
You eat carpses.
Carpses.
House of a thousand carpses. House of a thousand carpses.
That's 17% Irish coming out.
The fuck? So how many stars out of five would you give this movie?
Two.
Two?
Yeah, it's a two.
How about you, Matt?
Three and a half, maybe. Maybe three and a half, maybe.
You saying I am so fucking disappointed does not
three
sound
and a quarter.
Like,
if I could give it a quarter, but usually you can't.
It's because his boys at fucking Telluride liked it.
No, it's just I liked the movie. I liked it until it fucking went Paranormal Activity. I was really into it. Like, I didn't want to go to bed. I stopped checking my phone. I didn't smoke weed while I was watching the movie because I wanted to be invested. And then they put in the fucking night vision. And then there was a jump scare, like the one real jump scare of the fucking movie that was just like, why would you do that? That serves no fucking purpose.
Because it's a documentary.
But then, like, that's the thing. It's like,
with color grading,
it went from feeling like a documentary to feeling like just another shitty found footage paranormal investigation.
Well, can you say that again?
Went from feeling like a documentary to feeling like another found footage shitty paranormal investigation movie.
Found footage movie.
So all found footage movies are shitty.
Yes.
Not agreed. All. Agreed with you.
Hell House LLC. Dope. Two. Grave Encounters. Dope.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. Dope.
I'm not even counting that.
How are you not counting
wouldn't
that?
You?
That's absolute found footage. Oh, because he likes it. He's like, that one's good, so I'm not going to count it.
That's like the king. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
That fucks all your guys' movies.
That fucks so hard.
I love Cloverfield.
And you know who directed that? J.J. Abrams.
No, Matt Reeves. He did the new Batman that you're not going to watch, but you'll watch this fucking
you know why? Because
2 hour, 10 minute bullshit.
Because Cloverfield is about a fucking monster in the city, and it's like 90 minutes.
Bro, this is about a serial killer in the city.
Batman is about something I do not give a shit about.
A serial killer in Gotham called the Riddler?
I don't give a fuck about the Riddler.
You do, though.
Do I? Yes, I don't.
You do.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
If I want to watch a Batman movie, I'll go back and watch fucking the first
Batman.
You know
what's funny? Like, why wouldn't you? Like, you give a fuck about Timothy Chalamet in Dune.
Who's Timothy Chalamet?
Paul Atreides.
Okay.
You give a fuck about Paul Atreides and Spice, right?
I give a fuck about Paul Atreides.
So you give a fuck about the Riddler and Batman,
Chalamet.
Bro. You give a fuck about Batman.
How does that connect? I don't get it.
Because they're both made up fucking bullshit worlds. So,
why are you?
Why do you care? You're like, oh, I don't care about Batman. Why not?
Because I just don't. I've never cared about superheroes. I've never cared about.
You liked the Dark Knight trilogy. You said so before.
I didn't say I liked the trilogy.
You also like Brightburn.
No, I didn't.
Ew, you liked Brightburn.
I did like Brightburn.
I did not like Brightburn.
That was fun.
The first two Batman movies were dope. I mean, the first two in the trilogy. The third one was terrible, but the...
you think Dark Knight Rises was terrible?
Is that the third one? The one with Bane?
It was uneven.
The one with Bane was bad. The one with Danny DeVito, though, was dope. That's my favorite.
Of course. You merely adopted Penguin the dark.
Crashing this place.
I was born. You don't like Bane because I remind you of Bane.
I actually love Bane. I didn't like Bane in this movie.
That would be painful.
I love Bane. I like Bane because he broke Batman.
For you.
That's why.
It would be extremely painful.
For you.
For you. Rest of the show with the Bane voice.
That's the end of the show.
That's the
we
end.
We should
of
watch
the
Dark Knight
show.
Rises on the show. That'd be dope. Fucking hella tight.
It would be though. Like if we did a live viewing of the Dark Knight Rises. Now that it's been 10 years, almost,
sure.
Almost 10 years.
Fucking Joker going ah, ah.
That's the second one.
Ah, I don't know. I'm doing fucking Suicide Squad Joker.
Oh. So the medium.
Not good. Not good, man. I
it's on Shudder, though, if you're curious.
I wanted to like it.
I wanted to like it, too. It
just, another possession movie.
Yeah, I'm sad.
The found footage bit doesn't, that's not the part that I'm like, ah, frick.
Oh, but it was bad.
It's the same goddamn possession thing, man. They start off kind of silly and goofy little things, like punching a little girl on a slide, and then this dude's over here taking selfies.
No, I just realized Limp Bizkit's got a new album coming out on Halloween.
Fred Dust.
Called Limp Bizkit Still Sucks.
Oh, you get it?
100% serious.
Self-effacing humor.
He's like, oh, he's reached it.
Elvis did that. Elvis is
he's reached it 25 years later.
Yeah, right.
Has it been 25?
No,
it's
no.
Coming up.
I mean, Jesus. Pretty close. They were mid to late 90s.
98, 99 was the peak.
Yeah.
Fuck. When did $3 bill, y'all?
I think that was 97.
97, probably.
Wow.
Like, it's one of those a days. Year after Around the Fur.
Wow.
Not good.
Not good. All right, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess I would still recommend The Medium.
Yeah, I get where you guys are coming from. I really wanted it to be like The Wailing, but like it's just not even close.
Oh no,
like dude, it's not even in the same ballpark.
No, Mr. Griffin, no.
I really wanted it. I wanted an emotional roller coaster. Didn't get it.
You want an emotional roller
coasters?
If you're gonna make a Batman reference, you just killed it with that flub right there.
Hey. Listen, cuck.
I still don't think you know what that word means.
I do know what it means. I understand the true.
I do know what it means. Damn it!
Sophia told him.
I heard you're looking for candy cuck.
I heard you're looking to get pegged, bitch.
Well, I mean, that's not being cucked.
That's not being cucked, right?
That's just
fucked.
That's All right, that's it. Episode 330. This is what are we watching next week?
Antlers. And then Last Night in Soho.
Better be fucking good, y'all. I'm getting real tired.
It's gonna be better than that.
Real tired.
Real tired of not enjoying the things that I watch for this show. Real fucking tired.
We're watching new shit. What do you expect?
Real tired.
New shit can't be good.
It will be eventually. Titane was great. You guys just missed the boat. Oh, yeah.
It was our fault.
That movie was stupid.
Got him.
This fucking guy. Titane was great. Which is not what he said.
Nope. You guys just missed the boat. And I did. Not only that, I said it was brilliant. Yes, I did.
I didn't miss the boat. I missed the bus.
This is revisionist history at its worst. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. We'll see you on episode 333. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
That's Matt walking out.
And this is
I'm
not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.